Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 229. It is the week of August 6th, 2016. I'd like to thank you for coming along, and especially thank you for coming back again. If you've downloaded previous shows, become a regular listener, certainly appreciate all listeners to the program, and certainly if you've come back as a repeat listener, that's very much appreciated. I'm going to talk a little bit about a couple different things in this show. I've got some audio clips from two different events, so that should be pretty cool. I guess the big news for me is that I finished my 30th marathon / ultra marathon yesterday. August 6th was the week of August 6th, but today's actually August 7th. That was the Dahlgren Heritage Rail Trail 50K. Not to be confused with the dog run that I think Sandy up in Michigan thought I had been talking about. Ash and Tom let me know about a little conversation he had with her in reference to the race we were doing. And I think the way I've been pronouncing Dahlgren, which is D-A-H-L-G-R-E-N, was being confused with dog run. So apparently she looked for the race online, couldn't find it, and Tom hooked her into the actual name of it. So I thought that was pretty funny, so I wanted to mention that. But it was the Dahlgren Heritage Rail Trail 50K, not to be confused with the Dahlgren Rail Heritage Trail, because I've seen it two different ways, and they had it two different ways yesterday. Some of the directional signs compared with the logo on the race bibs, they had it two different ways, the race organizers. But I know what to talk about. Yesterday was my third finish of that event. Pretty dismal performance, 7 hours, 20 minutes, 45 seconds. I will talk all about that race later in the show because I've got some good audio clips from it, and I almost ran into the same problem that I had at the North Face 50 Miler in 2010 with some major foot issues. Let's just say that when you have heat and humidity, or excuse me, heat, friction, and moisture, that is the triangle of disaster when it comes to at least my feet. And so I'm going to call this show Rookie Mistakes Made at Dahlgren. And again, I'll get into all that at the end of the show. But before I get to that, I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that happened this week since the last show. Before I get into some audio clips that when Tom and I were out on his training run for his 100 mile, which would be September 10th and 11th at Pine Creek, the Pine Creek Challenge in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania. For the first time in my life, I drove off with the gas at a gas pump with the nozzle in my car. I had never done that before, and it was really the end of kind of a strange weekend. I drove to Charlotte to see a International Champions Cup soccer game at Bank of America Stadium where the Panthers play. And it was Bayern Munich playing Inter Milan. I had gotten tickets a couple months ago or so. And I went to the game with my good friend Rob, who lives down in Charlotte, and his son Jack. And we got there with tailgate and all that. And I think this is the first time this ever happened to me, but a bird crapped on my shoulder. And somebody told me that's supposed to be good luck, but I never really quite understood how that could be good luck when a bird shits on your shoulder. I felt it and I kind of saw it, and I was able to get it off before it really made a stain or ruined, you know. I was wearing a white t-shirt, so it didn't really matter so much. But I just thought that was really funny. And then we had a real good time down to Charlotte. I was driving back, and I stopped at one of the local Wawas to get some coffee. And what I did is I got out of my routine when I pumped gas in my personal car. And for some reason, I went and got some coffee while the gas pump was filling up, because I had to fill up the whole tank, and I was thinking I might be able to get in and out before it finished. And they say you're not supposed to leave it unattended, and I know that was a stupid thing to do. But when I got back, I just got in the car and drove away, and I pulled the nozzle right off of the gas pump. It didn't damage my car. They had some kind of quick release thing. And gosh, I was embarrassed, you know, because people see that and made a noise. And so I took it out, and there was no gas sprayed around or anything. And I took it back over to the pump, made note of the pump number, and I pulled my car up to the front of the store, and I went in, and I was going to tell them what happened. And, you know, they take your name down and you have to pay or something like that. And I heard the employee saying, well, where did he go? And I think they're talking about me. And I said, oh, I'm right here. I just moved my car. And I said, I'm sorry. You know, I wasn't paying attention. I pulled the pump off and I said, it looks like it just had a release mechanism. It doesn't look like it was damaged. And he said, oh, don't worry about it. It happens all the time. You know, appreciate it. You know, we don't need your name or anything. And I just thought that was kind of strange. I just thought when I felt I was pulling it away, I just felt, oh my gosh, I was in my wife's car and I was thinking, oh man, I've damaged the car. But it was no damage to the car at all. It was just kind of funny. And so get home and we were trying to watch a DVD player that night, a DVD on our DVD player that night, and the DVD player quit working. And I'm not really sure why, because we hadn't used it in a long time. So we ended up watching a DVD by hooking up one of the laptops through the HDMI cable. And that worked out pretty good. And so I don't really think there's any need for us to replace the DVD player, because we just watch it on the laptop and put it onto the TV with the cable, because we have a larger TV. And I'm not really sure why I brought all that stuff up as usual. I like to throw in some extra things that have happened that don't have anything to do with running. So let's get into some of the audio clips with Ashlyn Tom. In reference to his training, he was doing either a 20 or a 30 miler a couple Saturdays ago, and I met him at 6 a.m. and he had started at 5. So let's check in with Tom.
Here comes Tom now. It's 6 a.m. How many miles have you done?
Almost 5.
All right, so we're going to do another 10 more?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Rehydrate a little bit and we'll get going. You want to go right? There it comes. Freight train. Alright, we're around the 5 mile mark for me. Tom's at the 10 mile mark. He started at 5 a.m. He started at 6. His plan is to do 15 today, and you're gonna do 30 tomorrow. So Tom's training for the Pine Creek Challenge, which is a 100 miler, September 10th and 11th. He's got some goals, which we'll talk about. If you're a regular listener to the show, then you obviously know Ashlyn Tom. Even heard me talk about all his exploits over the years. I guess he's run 50 marathons.
48,
but who's counting? A handful of those are ultras, what, maybe 15 or so? Maybe half of them by now?
Yeah, probably. Okay.
Long as being 100K, so the 100-mile mark be a huge milestone. And he's been getting some online advice from the one and only Sandy Steiner, who's a regular listener to the show and a good friend. She's been down here in the center of the universe a handful of times, and we visited with her. So finally, she and Tom hooked up over email, and she's done a lot of hundreds, so she's been giving some good advice. So I guess we talked earlier about some of the things I wanted to ask you. I guess one, the most obvious being, how are you dealing with the humidity? I mean, it's got to be, I almost see water in the air. That's how humid it is right now. I see water floating around. So how you been dealing with that?
Well, I've kind of adjusted my goals as far as pace. I've dropped, so I was hoping to average, at least for the first 50, average 12 miles an hour, 12 minute miles. So now I'm kind of realistically thinking 13 might be a better goal. But I have had to cut, like last weekend, I cut some runs short just because it's been so hot and humid. I'm hoping that we'll get a break in the weather on September 10th.
And that's up in Pennsylvania, about 6 hours north of here. You've lived up that way before. What's the weather expected to be like around that time of year in upper Pennsylvania? I guess it's upper Pennsylvania?
I think it's about smack dab in the middle of Pennsylvania where the race is. But it's always cooler at night. So I figure even if we get a blistering hot day, maybe I'll just walk all day and run after it gets dark or when the sun starts going down.
Sounds easy today.
Yeah. But it should be less humidity and cooler temperatures, I'm hoping.
I don't mean to walk you off the trail there. All right, so you're in week what of?
18.
Week 18 of how many weeks?
26.
Okay.
About 8 weeks to go. That's counting the race week, so yeah. And pretty much stuck to the schedule. There's been a few weeks where life just got in the way, and that's one of the things I sent Sandy my training schedule, and she goes, yeah. I said, is this enough? You know, and she goes, I think it's actually a lot. And now that I've gotten into the really long runs on the weekends, you know, it takes me 9 hours to run 45 miles. And that's a lot of time to carve out your weekend when you have a family and other stuff to do.
Full-time job, yeah. Wife, children. How about, you know, this is pretty extensive training program, and I don't know if you're doing weekly mileage that's higher than what you've done in the past. I presume it probably is. Have you discovered anything about yourself during that period that you didn't know before? I mean, did you know what your breaking point was before, and have you passed that? And, you know, have you learned anything new? I mean, you've been running for so long. Is it possible to learn anything new?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, going slower, I thought we'd have a...
Which way you want to go? You want to... Okay. I probably need to reload a little bit here.
I thought going slower would actually be a lot easier than it is. And that's one thing I want to ask Sandy about. You know, it seems to be time more than pace. You know, when you're out there for 6 hours, it doesn't matter if you covered 25 miles or 30 miles, you still feel the same because you're out there 6 hours. You know, so I don't know. It's been a lot tougher than I thought it would be. Because I thought, you know, backing down on the pace, I should be able to. I mean, it's easier than training for a marathon, but it hasn't been just because of the time.
Well, what do I know? You know, I'm not doing the program with you. I think I told you I could probably do most of your half miles on Saturdays. I've had a lot of stuff get in the way, too. I'm covering on call this weekend for somebody, you know, trips, things like that. One thing I do know is that it's hard to gauge your success in these long runs running in this humidity because your body takes so much energy to try to keep itself cool. It's not like running on a nice 60 degree cold fall day in optimal conditions. How about how about the negative? Has there been anything that has surprised you that you've had to get past? I know you had an injury there for a while, but
yeah,
I think my injury was
actually caused by the Ashland Railroad run. I did both the 5K as part of my long run. I did both the 5K and the 10K, and actually, in the 10K, I was like behind a guy I know, so I actually ran too fast. Probably.
I just got a rock in my shoe, damn it!
And I think that caused some
morning
foot problems. I shouldn't have been running that fast. And at the end of my, I think I was doing like 22 that day, something like that.
So is that gone?
Pretty much. I mean, I tried a couple pair of shoes, and this pair that I got now seemed to help. I can still feel it, but not so bad. I can't remember.
How about other things? As you sit around and go through your daily routine and with stuff in your life, and then the race comes through your mind, because I like to say that the rest of your life starts after that weekend.
Yeah.
You know, you got this huge thing you got to do before you can start the rest of your life.
Right.
And anything else huge that's come up that has made you just kind of rethink what you're doing, and then were you able to get through that?
Well, my youngest daughter got operated on, had a major surgery.
That's right.
And I thought I could, you know, it was actually down in Norfolk, which is not in Ashland. I thought, well,
2 hours away.
I can train through that, you know. But then, sleeping in the hospital on the windowsill bed, you know, I just said, well, I'm on bag this weekend, so I did miss that entire long run weekend. And, my oldest daughter is graduating from her summer program that she did today, so kind of had to change things around. I haven't gotten too hung up on missing or changing the schedule.
We're going back to the car now, right? No, yeah. I'm not trying to change the subject.
Yeah, but that's one thing Sandy said when, you know, showed her my schedule. She's like, you know, if you've got a family and a job, that schedule's going to be hard to maintain. And she certainly was right on that.
Yeah, she's a gem. She really knows her stuff. You want to run back to the car from here? We still got to walk it out.
Oh.
How about the mental preparation? I mean, I remember back before we did the Sterling Gym 40, you know, 40 miles was kind of hard to wrap around. I remember just trying to wrap my head around a marathon. But now this is, you know, four times that. What's been going through your mind for that?
I think that's
going
to be the hardest part is, and somebody actually told me this, when you get to like 70 miles, 80 miles, it's just, you gotta, it's like 90% mental after that, you know, just to keep yourself from quitting. So hopefully by me telling enough people I was going to do 100 miles, I don't want to come back and say I did not finish. I'm sure I'm going to have lows on the trail where I feel like I don't want to do one, but I think having some pacers lined up and friends and family up there to help out, and you know, the real goal is just to finish the thing, so even if I had to walk a lot of it at the end, I think I can make the 30-hour cutoff.
30-hour cutoff. All right, we're going to refuel. Another five to go.
All right, start out with the pacer.
All right, so we're talking about Tom's pacers during the event itself. Good morning, y'all. Hey, Linda. Hey. And Tom asked me how many miles I was going to do. I guess that's a loaded question, because I guess by the time I come into the picture, you'll obviously have slowed down some, I'm thinking. I mean, I'm not trying to be critical, but I think
slowing down now.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's more my thing, and especially I think my best, the role that's best suited for me is probably just to keep you moving forward like you've done for me in the past and show no sympathy. You remember that?
Yeah.
Because sympathy won't get you anywhere.
Yeah, don't mingle in the misery, I guess.
Yeah, you gotta stay out of that dark, dark place. So, I'm guessing that's gonna be likely late at night.
Yeah.
Into the next morning at some point. Because race starts at 6 a.m. Saturday morning, finishes Sunday. So, I guess, in theory, I'd probably be with you. I'd probably stay up, is what I'd probably do. I don't know. Well, I guess you're going to map out maybe some stuff that we can kind of expect as crew, and then kind of play it as go along, at least with that plan, until things change. What do you think?
Yeah, so there's some longer stretches, and then, you know, for 100 miles, it's not really long, but it's like 7.8 in between aid stations.
Okay.
And there might be an 8.2 or something like that. But I'm figuring if you can cover, between you and Brian, if you can cover those, and then, you know, I think my family, if somebody can cover the short ones, they're like 3. But those come at the end, so they'll probably be in the middle of the night, those long ones.
Is there a race briefing on Friday?
You know,
or do you just show up Saturday morning?
I think there is a pack and pickup on Friday.
I think we've sped up, haven't we? I feel like we're running a little faster.
I think there is pack and pickup on Friday, somewhere in Wellsboro. And then I think the race briefing is actually you got to be there at like 5:45. Cover.
Okay, so it's a short, short briefing.
You just got to check in and I guess they tell you not to litter on the trail. That's about the only rule.
I think I saw that. I need to get familiar with the website again, car up. So all the aid station distances are on the website, you say?
Yeah, yeah. So if you go there, it'll, you know, it's a, it's a double out and back. So,
one.
And 100 milers do that twice. There's a short out and back and a long out and back. And, yeah, the longer stretches are, seems like 7 and 8 miles is about the longest you go before hitting the aid station.
Okay.
So I figured you and Brian maybe tag team if you wanted. And
I don't think this guy's gonna move.
Because we'll actually go.
Morning. Morning.
You know, you'll go out. You know, you'll hit those same stretches twice in the last part of the race. So you can run one, tag off to Brian. Let him do the other one.
Well, there'll be car access at those points so we can get transported down the next one?
Yeah, so they're supposed to have a shuttle that runs to all the aid stations for Warren, the whole race.
So, all right.
We do the 8 mile out and then the 8 mile back, which would be 16.
Right, I'm sorry. How's this taping? God, I hate it.
So you would do 16 and then you get a break. And then Brian would do the next 8. And then you could pick up from there.
I think that's a good idea.
So you wouldn't have to continuously run, you know, 30 miles.
But we'll need headlamps and whatnot for the dark, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty wide open trail, so. The moon's out.
Should be able to see. Car up. All right, we're looking forward to it.
All right, well, we certainly wish Tom the best. We'll be checking in with him much more as we get closer to September, and I'll probably probably dedicate a show to the Pine Creek Challenge and his 100-mile effort once he's finished with that. And we are all hoping in the center of the universe here that he does finish. All right, so let's talk about the Dahlgren Heritage Rail Trail 50K. That was on August 6th. Well, I've got some audio clips. I want to talk a little bit about my rookie mistake. I didn't take care of my feet, and I should have. I don't know why I didn't. I don't know why it didn't cross my mind that I might have some issues because of the humidity. And I guess because I thought it was a mostly flat course, and we were going to be doing a run-walk interval. I wasn't going to have any trouble. I couldn't be farther from the truth. I had, I wouldn't say extreme foot issues, but I had serious foot issues. And it got to a point where I couldn't even run anymore because of the pain. And it was very, very similar to what happened to me back in 2010 at my first 50-miler. And that's when I swore I would never let this happen to me again. But I didn't. My feet didn't break open, but the skin got really loose. And all you got to really do is Google maceration of the feet. That's M-A-C-E-R-A-T-I-O-N. And you're going to see some images that might make you vomit on your keyboard. And that's what my feet looked like yesterday. It was pretty bad. And Neil, who was one of the volunteers at the race, who has his blog at tk42one.blogspot.com, he saw those and I told him I needed some privacy when I took my shoes and socks off, because if it was really bad, I didn't want anybody else to see it, because I needed to kind of process it myself. And they looked a little worse than I thought they were going to look, but at least the skin had not broken open, exposing the raw skin underneath. And we're talking more than blisters. It's not a blister. It's where the skin is actually macerating, and that's beyond blistering. And that almost requires medical care. Fortunately, mine did not break open. And I'm having a hard time walking around the house today, but I'm able to trying to walk kind of light on my feet, try not to move around too much. And that's why I thought it'd be perfect to work on the podcast. So I think what would have really solved this problem was probably just carrying a change of socks with me in my little waist pack that I have, or having a drop bag with a towel, powder, and socks. Everything that I did down at the Mississippi Trail 50, I should have done yesterday. I don't know why. I don't know what the difference was. It was really hot down in Mississippi, and of course that's running through water, but the water kind of soothed the feet. But yesterday was complete heat, friction, and moisture, and that's that deadly triangle. And I don't know why I did not think of that the morning I was putting my shoes and socks on. I put some Vaseline between my toes and around my toes, and I was more worried about blistering between my toes than I was any issues on the bottom. And I can't really explain it other than I just cannot make this mistake again, because it put us in a situation where the only way to get back to the finish line was to run or walk. There was no, I guess I could have, well, I wanted to finish, and I knew that if the skin broke open, I was going to have to stop, and I was afraid to look at it. I think I told Tom at one point, I'm afraid to look at my feet, and I'm afraid not to. But would have easily solved it was just doing some foot care halfway through. And here's where I knew I was going to have a problem. Before the turnaround, the 50K that I did is an out and back on this really cool Rails to Trails project. It's really neat. It goes through different environments, and it's flat for the most part, except for one little excursion where it has to go through a church cemetery. I'm guessing the cemetery was built after the railway was pulled up or something, but the railway continues on the other side of the cemetery. And you have to go through, you have to go down an incline, and I could feel my foot shift around in my foot. I mean, excuse me, I could feel my foot shift around in my shoe, and I could tell it was really wet. And my second, the big toe in my right foot jammed up into the toe box, and it just shot this excruciating pain up to my brain. And that's when I knew there was an issue. And so I tried to kind of run to compensate for that. And I knew something was happening, and I should have dealt with it. I really don't know why. And this is not going to happen again. Tom, I promise you, when I get up to Pine Creek and I'm helping you towards the end of your race, the foot issues will not be mine. You might be having foot issues, but I swear I'm not going to have foot issues. And if I have to run with more supplies just to take care of myself, I'm going to do that, and I'm not going to make this mistake again. Because here I am on a Sunday, and I've got stuff to do around the house, and I was thinking I would just have regular marathon or 50K soreness, but now I've got this added issue of my feet being real sensitive, and it's just gonna be tough to cope with. Next Friday I go on call for work for the week, and I think I should be good by then. And I promise I'm gonna be good by the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, which is on August 27th. And I'll talk, I think, a little bit more about that when I get to the email bag section of the show, which I have an email from Dr. Smitty, and I think I got one in there from Sandy, because she and I've been exchanging some emails. So let's get into some of the 50K details here. The race started at 6:30. Michael Wardian was there. He won the race. They had offered a $100 bonus to anybody that beat his course time or course record of 3:10:46. That's for a 50K, y'all. He came in at 3:17 and some change, and he won by several minutes. He blew past us on the inbound when we were still outbound. He always says hello. You know, he's a real competitive guy. He was very nice in the parking lot. We just said hello and waved, and he was there a couple of years ago when I was down there. He drives down from Northern Virginia, does this race, and he didn't get the bonus money, but he won. It was kind of cool to see him, because I think he's an elite ultra runner. Saw some other folks too. Christelle, who's from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. She's one of the listeners to the podcast. Ran into her a couple of years ago at the Patrick Henry Half. She said she recognized me by my voice, so it was very nice to see her again. I saw her before the race started, and under one of the tents where we were just sitting and waiting. And I thought she looked familiar. And then she said my voice sounded familiar, and then we figured out that she's still a listener. And she said something really nice to me that I want to share. She said that she spends a lot of time with me. So she listens to every show, and that really made me feel good. So, Christelle, good to talk to you. And we've got an audio clip in the section here that we'll listen to. Also met Tony and John from Pennsylvania, Meg from Arlington. Her father is actually the race director, and we ran into another lady named Tammy who'd done Badwater and done numerous other ultras. So there's some funny audio clips in here. Some of them are just me looking for sympathy from Tom, and then there was one where a lady talked endlessly about how she didn't get the right Frappuccino or something from McDonald's for her crew to get her the right drink, and she got I couldn't help but get some audio clips of this conversation, and so I'll insert those in there also. And then we'll talk a little bit more about the race at the end. This first clip is from Christelle, just chit-chatting with her a little bit on the trail. She's actually from France, but she lives in Chapel Hill, and so she's got a little bit of an accent. Real nice lady.
I'm from France. Okay. I've been in the U.S. since 98, though.
So. We're here talking to Christelle on the Dahlgren Heritage 50K, and her nickname's Smiley. And we've seen her before. She listens to the show. So you're doing 12-hour next weekend. Talk about that again real quick.
So I didn't really check much about the website. It's called TikTok. It's a 12-hour run in Pinehurst, North Carolina.
Right, okay.
And I know the same race people organize similar race in Florida. But I think most runners go there as a team, you know, like a relay team.
TikTok?
Yeah, for TikTok.
Okay. So it has a relay option and then solo.
Yes.
So what's your mileage goal? Do you have one?
No, I don't. Except doing at least 50K.
For Maniac.
So I can count it in my marathon Maniac races.
But don't you just have to do 26.2?
Well, if it's a time event that's 8 hours or more, you need at least a 50K to count.
Ah, special rules. Okay.
Yeah.
So are you already in the Maniacs, or are you trying to get up one?
No, no, I'm already a Maniac, and...
What's your number?
8771.
And, all right, I'm 1319. Tom, what's yours?
Okay.
783 or something.
You're an early, early guy. This year, in June, I qualified for Titanium, so wow. I was happy.
Wow.
It was not planned, but, you know.
You're a beastess. A beastess. Is that the female version of a beast?
I'll accept it.
Well, congratulations, and I hope you...
Thank you.
...get your finish today and...
Yes. That's
...get your
I
finish
hope.
Next
just
week.
Just finish happy and smiling and injury-free. That's all the goal.
All right, we'll check in with you later if we see you along the trail.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, this next clip is from a runner we met out there. I'm not going to say her name because her conversation is a little funny, but she was talking about how somebody was just, her crew at Badwater was just not doing what she wanted. And I think she talked for 15 minutes straight, and we didn't catch up with her again on the trail. But we saw her again, but we didn't coordinate our aid station stops to run with her anymore. I think she might have talked maybe 20 minutes straight. This clip is not 20 minutes long. It's about 45 seconds, but it'll give you a feel for it. And then she went in to talk about chicken snack wraps at McDonald's. I didn't really even know what they were. I don't go to McDonald's, but maybe once every 6 months. But you'll see.
125 degrees or whatever. And so I was just like, they were like, I was like, that has whipped cream. And that one I did kind of, like, I think I looked between depressed and a little frustrated because I'm 10 miles away, I'm jogging, it's not like I can go there. But it's also, I gave them things all over everywhere that said explicitly, I hate whipped cream. It's my arch nemesis. Like, if I get into a cage match with whipped cream, it's going down. And
so that's a good one.
Oh, this really kind of sucks. But I was like, oh no, but I'll have my chicken snack wraps with honey barbecue and barbecue sauce. I'm like, yay, yay, yay. So, and this is going to be about, if you believe the McDonald's.
Yeah, I think that's enough.
It was going to be about 2000.
All right, the remaining clips are just me and Tom talking along the trail, getting closer to the finish. There might be some odd ones stuck in there. I hope you like them. And yeah, 30th marathon for me, 49th for Tom. That sets him really good sets him up for his 50th marathon finish, will be his 100-mile effort and finish up in Pennsylvania next month. So we're all hoping that happens. And I'll talk more about the race after the clips.
All right, we're on the Dahlgren Heritage Trail. Me and Tom are, it is 100% humidity. What's the temperature, Tom? 85? 90?
Probably not 90 yet, but it's in there. It'll get there today.
It is. The conditions are miserable. We're almost in last place. I think we're about...
Tarzan just dropped out of the race.
Tarzan just dropped out. Michael Wardian's already finished. He blew past us, and clearly he was trying to beat his course record of 3:10:46, I think is what it was. Where you got 11 and a half miles to go before we're done. We're about 4 hours and 20 minutes into the race. And I've kind of hit a little bad patch. What do you think, Tom? You think I'm in a bad patch?
You're doing good. Still walking at a good
clip. Yeah, we're still walking at a good clip, but it's just hard to maintain the runnings. My eggs are my eggs are laking is what I was getting ready to say. My legs are aching so bad, and my brain's starting to shut down and get a little mushy. But we've seen a couple folks out here. We've met John and Tony from Pennsylvania, Chantel from Chapel Hill. Got audio clip. She's from Chapel Hill. She listens to the podcast. Met Tammy from Gaithersburg. He ran into got a Yancey that we know from the center of the universe. Tom recognized him. And you recognize a guy named Brad, who's one of them.
Second place. Yeah.
Probably made second place. He's an elite runner. So I'll recap the winners and losers of this race at the end of the show. So right now we're just trying to stay alive, surviving. You got anything to add?
I think that's it. How are we doing? Good. We're going to make it under 7 hours.
We'll get there.
We're all within a couple.
Just, you know, it's one of those things that sounded like a good idea at the time when I signed up. This is my third year running this. The conditions are the same misery every time. This has got to be the last time I come up here. Definitely come up for the half marathon in February, though.
We could have done the half today. That's what we could have opted for.
Yeah, but that's true. I think we would have felt the same, right?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't get my 30th marathon finished, and you wouldn't get your 49th.
Yeah.
All right, we're about almost 25 miles in, right?
Yeah.
And we've had to modify our strategy for survival. We're doing a half-mile walk, half-mile run. Seems to be working pretty good. We're still going to come inside 7 hours, more than likely. I just can't describe how humid it is. Of course, I have not trained up to 20 miles yet, so Tom is probably wondering why I want to walk so much, but... He's practicing his power walking, which he's going to need at Pine Creek. And we are now, we're 6 miles to go. Isn't this mile marker up here, say six? That's got to have been the quickest six and a half mile we've done in the whole race. That's where I'm a little suspicious on some of these pylons, but when you get to the end, you've done 31. All right, six to go. All right, we got 3 miles to go. And unfortunately, I am having a foot problem, which I knew something would happen today because there's no way I was trained for 31 miles. I didn't realize it would be like a blister on the bottom of my foot that I hope has not opened up. I'm still walking on it and running, but boy, it hurts. And I'm kind of dragging Tom down a little bit with me, but he doesn't care. He's practicing his walking. So we got 3 to go. At this point, I'm probably going to walk a good chunk of it. All right, Tom and I are a couple hundred yards from the finish. My Garmin battery burned out, so I'm not sure what our time is. It's 7 hours and 10 minutes, is that it? What are we at?
7:16,
so we'll probably be around a 7:25. We've got a couple hundred yards to walk. This very well could be the first finish line I walk across. My feet are just completely on fire. And if I have done any damage to where I'm gonna miss work or not be able to do stuff at home, my wife's going to kill me because I promised her I wouldn't do this. And we'll find out here soon after I get settled down, take off my shoes and socks. Still better than my first 50K ever finish, which was back in 2009 with Tom, which was 727, 737, something like that. That's the one that started at minus 2 degrees Fahrenheit. That is a complete other story, which you can find in the archives at ashlanddave.podbean.com. All right, we're almost at the finish now. We're going to go ahead and run across here. Come on, you ready? It'll be about 7:20, maybe 7:21. They got sodas right at the finish line. All right, thanks. Oh, thank God that's over.
Hey guys, welcome back.
7:24.
Soda.
Soda. Coke. Or Crush, orange Crush. Oh, Dr. Pepper, that'd be great. Thanks, Neil. He's getting back.
Yeah, I know. You want a hat, metal, or pint glass?
Oh, Tom, they do have that. Hey, man. Thanks, Dave. I think you were wearing something.
Yeah, you can. I changed her. Put the singlet on.
Good job.
Okay, thanks. You too. Good job.
And that was just some mumbling at the finish line there. They had a finishing medal, they had a hat, or they had a pint glass, and I've chose the medal because I've gotten a hat and a pint glass in the past. Pretty cool stuff at the end. They didn't have ice cream this year. I kept saying that they had ice cream. They had sodas right at the finish line. I got a Dr. Pepper. They had food, they had cooking food on the grill. The biggest thing I wanted to do was get those shoes and socks off to inspect my feet to see what kind of trouble I was in. And then after I saw what I had, I kind of lost interest in socializing after the race and really just wanted to get in the car, get my feet separated from any surface so the skin could start drying. Neil did hook me up with an ice bag to kind of cool him a little bit. Just wasn't really working because I couldn't really wrap my feet. And so I got a little food and then we cruised on out of there. And I got home. We stopped off and got something to eat on the way home. And I got a chocolate milkshake, which made me feel a lot better. Official finishing time was 7:20:45. There were 63 finishers. I think there was almost 80 people started. Placed 52. I was seventh place out of 10 in the men 40 to 45 age group. And it says in here the weather on race day was 74 degrees, 73 degree dew point. That probably was the temperature at 6 in the morning, but it was over 90 by the time we finished because it took us over 7 hours. Had a great time overall, you know, reflecting back on it, and I am feeling a little bit better now. I'm just, you know, sore all over, but my feet just still feel awful. I'm a little worried about what it's going to be like getting in dress shoes tomorrow for work. So that's the Dahlgren Rail Trail 50K. Good experience with Tom, and I made the rookie mistakes again, which hopefully I won't do again. All right, let's check the email bag section of the show. We got a couple emails from Sandy and Dr. Smitty. Sandy says she fell back in May. She was running a boardwalk path in Georgia, and she said she couldn't lift her arm for 3 weeks. Thought it was a torn rotator cuff, but it turned out it was really bad tendonitis and bursitis. She got a cortisone shot, started feeling better, but it really slowed her training down. And she actually did, she didn't tell me which one, but she did a marathon in a sling and walked the entire way, which was great training for walking muscles, obviously. This past week, 2 weeks ago, she did an 8-hour trail race. She's hoping for 50K, but she had to walk a lot of it. They jogged a minute each mile, beautiful course in a park that's near them, which is up in a little farther north in Michigan. And the 50 miler that she's doing a 50 miler next month. It's called the North Country Trail Run, which is in Manistee, Michigan. It's a pretty tough course. 2 25-mile loops. So I'm sure she'll be running that, and I'll have to look that up and find out the date on that. So Sandy, good to hear from you, and I guess I sent you an email with the results from yesterday, so you can check that. I'm sure you'll see the email before the podcast. Also heard from Dr. Smitty. He saw that Michael Wardian had won the race yesterday. He has got a 12-hour race coming up, I think he said next month, and he did something different, Tom, and this might be something you might try for some of these weekends. I think you just have two more long run weekends before you start tapering for September. He did 40 miles over the weekend, 20 miles each day, but he broke it up into 14 in the morning, then 6 in the evening both days, and he said he wasn't nearly as sore as he thought he would be. His 12-hour race is next month. I forget the name of it, but he is coming up for the Patrick Henry Half, which is on August 27th. And, yeah, Greg, we'll put together a group of locals and go hit the Center of the Universe Brewery for that. Friday night and Saturday night if you're staying. I'm trying to figure out if you're coming up. You said it looks like you're coming up Friday. And I'm not sure if you're staying at Saturday night as well or if you're going to be going home because the race will be done by 10. I can't remember what your plan is. I'll email you on that. So anyway, thanks for the emails, you guys. And for you others out there, remember, you can reach me at ashlanddave@gmail.com if you have any comments on the show or if you want to share any cool experiences that you've had. I think I'm all up to date on the email bag. I did get a nice gift from Down Under Dave, a Hub of the Universe tea towel. And Dave, I sent you an email back to let you know I got it, but I didn't hear from you. Hoping everything's okay because normally you respond pretty quickly. So hopefully everything's okay down there. And I do appreciate the gift very much. And the Spartan offer stands. If free entry to a Spartan race. And if this is the first time listening to the show and you do the Spartan races, you need to go back and listen to episode 227 or 228 and listen to the instructions in those shows. You have to listen to the show to get the instructions for the free Spartan open heat entry, which is a well over $100 value. And I will offer that to you because I've gotten a free one from the marketing director at Spartan, and I can offer that through the show. But you got to go back and listen to episode 227 or 228 to get that. All right, this is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids, and don't forget to take care of your feet. Y'all have a good week.